You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, it says this: "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches in Macedonia. For even in severe test of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed with a wealth of generosity." Someone say generosity. "For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means." Beyond their means. This is supernatural. "And on their own accord." Verse 4. "And begging us earnestly," look at this, "for the favor of taking part in the release of the saints." Someone shout favor. You didn't shout it. Shout favor. There we go. It says this, verse 5, "And this was not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us." Verse 7 says this: "But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, in our love for you, see that you excel in the act of grace also." The title of this message is Supernatural Giving. I came to tell you, supernatural giving releases supernatural favor. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we invite you. You're here. We acknowledge you. We say, have your way. I pray that you would breathe upon your logos, written word of God. I pray it would become alive in us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what your Spirit is saying. We declare no spirit but the Holy Spirit is welcome in this room. We declare spirit of fear, you have to go. Holy Spirit, come, rule, and reign. Father, I thank you that nobody came to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Teach us about supernatural giving. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Before we begin this morning, I want to let you know that we are talking, I am teaching this morning about giving. I'm teaching about generosity. I'm teaching about tithing. I'm teaching about greed. And I want you to know that the reason I'm teaching is because the Bible teaches me, tells me to teach you. And it's amazing because as soon as you start talking about money, greedy people don't like it. But no one had a problem with me talking about spiritual warfare or hearing God last week. But when money comes in, some people start getting upset. And if you get upset when it comes to money, it could be one of two reasons. One, you have a money problem. Or two, you've seen absolute manipulation in church, and that righteous indignation, that justice that's inside you is still sensitive because you have seen manipulation. And I want to let you know that I have seen manipulation, and there will be no manipulation here today. If you have seen manipulated services or people on TV or seated in person where they have people come and stand in lines for certain different amounts and make people feel good about giving big amounts and people feel inferior about other amounts, I want to let you know that is absolute manipulation. It's wickedness, and there's no place for it in the house of God. And we have to be able to be free to teach about heart issues, even they may be challenging issues. So 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "The Lord loves a cheerful giver," and it says to not give compulsively. So in order to not give compulsively, we told our congregation a month ago on the first Sunday of March that we are gonna be taking our once a year offering today. And so we gave you guys an entire month to pray into this moment with what the Lord would have you to do. And I believe that the Lord is still continuing to speak. He spoke to me this week as I was on the trail running, Heather and I were supposed to do today. And I believe he's gonna speak to every single one of you. So I wanna let you know that if you're a visitor, you're here for the first time, or you're new to our community, we don't even take time in services to pass tithes and offering buckets. Our community gives all throughout the week. We have an amazing, obedient, generous church. And most people don't even give on Sundays. They give throughout the week when they get paid. But once a year, we come together, we call it Heart for Mercy, and we bring an offering from our heart to the Lord, an act of obedience. And that's what today is all about. And so I want to be able to teach freely with no manipulation. And let's do this. I didn't want to pastor because of the junk that I saw in churches forever, the drama that I saw. And so when the Lord told me to build a house around him, it ignited me. It made me excited to see what would happen if there was a community, a church that was built around the presence of God and not a man, not a ministry, and not an ego. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so it's really important that despite some of our past or things that we've been through, let's not bring past dysfunction into a pure moment. Can I get an amen? Let's look at the word of God today. The reason I'm so passionate about this is a prophetic word. God is speaking to this house. He said it was the year of the supernatural. Ephesians 3:20, it says, now him who is able to do far more beyond abundantly than we could ask or think according to his power, his supernatural power that works in us. There was a three-part prophetic word. The year 2021 would be a year of the supernatural. We would see the supernatural. The second part I heard God say is this would be a year of supernatural growth. And the third part was Mercy Culture was going to experience supernatural numerical growth. So let's define the supernatural real quick. The supernatural is bigger than you. The supernatural defies the natural laws. The supernatural is what you can't do by yourself. The supernatural is when it's so big that no one can take the credit. The supernatural is the glory of God. The supernatural is when it scares you because it's so big it could only be God. Or simplified, the supernatural is what is beyond your ability. So we are going to partner with this prophetic word, and we're going to partner with supernatural personal growth. And I declare over you that this year you will grow supernaturally in your ability to give. Four of you partnered with that word. This is a prophetic house. We're not up here coming up with things that rhyme to entertain you every January. In fact, I was watching the Heart for Mercy message of last year, and I started prophesying that I had an open vision right before Heart for Mercy that people were running, and I saw red light, green light, this vision of red light, green light, and that people were called to run. Hello, Mayor Steve. Hello, Councilman Richardson. Hello, Justice Run. We're not up here talking about feathers and eagles and rainbows that nobody understands ever. It's quiet in here. God is speaking, and you have to learn how to partner with it. I said this year you are going to supernaturally grow in your ability to give. Awesome. 30 more people got on the train. In order for you to grow in your ability to give, you know that means that there has to be supernatural resources that are entrusted to you? Supernatural giving is this. If you're taking notes, please write this down. It's giving beyond your ability. It's giving beyond your ability. The reason why I love talking about giving is because God taught me how to hear his voice through giving. I was 18 years old. And I just became obsessed with hearing the voice of God. I'm 37 years old and I'm still obsessed. Now I'm just obsessed with you hearing God's voice too. And I'm 18 years old and I'm just begging God, would you speak? I got the revelation, 1 Samuel chapter 3, speak Lord, your servant's listening. I'm asking God every day, would you speak Lord, your servant's listening. I'm going after it. And when I go in my quiet time, I hear nothing ever. And then I get out of my quiet time and I'm running around, I'm in a hurry, I'm going to hang out with friends and I hear God tell me to give money away. And I'm like, no, I rebuke you in steal, kill, and destroy, the devourer attacking my finances. The devil's a liar. I'm like wrestling with it. You know it's God because you don't want to give to anyone ever. No one likes giving. How about this? When giving leaves your hand, it actually has to leave your flesh. It resists your flesh. And so it went from giving hundreds away, I mean, on a regular basis. And every time I'm like, and then I hear the Lord say, you want me to talk to you or not? I'm like, yes. I got to obey. I remember one Christmas Eve, I was sitting there and I just sat down for the Christmas Eve candlelight service. And I hear the Lord say, give that lady $100. And instantly I was like, no, I just got done giving gifts to people I don't even like.
And I mean, I wrestled with it all night. And you know it's God because it won't leave you alone. It's just there, it's just there, it's just there. And I just, all service long, I'm like, ah. So at the very end, I grabbed a check and I wrote $100 and checks were these little paper things they used to have that allow you to transfer money. And I wrote it and I folded it up and I just went and put it in her hand and I just shook her hand. I just said, hey, God bless you, Merry Christmas, and walked away. Took about 10 steps and someone came up to me and said, hey, God bless you, Merry Christmas, and put something in my hand. And I felt that Pentecostal handshake. I was like, whoa, there's paper there. Something's there. Felt it. And you know, like you pretend like you don't care and you're not interested. You just put it in your pocket. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. It's like burning a fire. There's a fire burning right here. Like it's, I get to the car, I open it up, I pull it out, and it's a check for $1,000. And the Lord said, you fought all night with me to bless you. It went from hundreds to thousands, this constant thing. Now I'm contending. I'm asking to hear from God. I'm trying to be a spiritual man. Like Nacho Libre. You don't think I know a lot about the gospel, but I do. I altered the version. And I'm trying to hear from God, and finally, I'm irritated. I want to hear prophecy. I want to hear about unicorns and rainbows and all these cool things. I'm like, I want to hear from you, God. I'm like, Lord, would you just speak to me? I'm like, Lord, why are you only talking to me about money? And the Holy Spirit said, because I got your attention. Because the Bible says that where your treasure is, there's your heart. Listen, if you can hear God about giving, you can hear God about anything. I want to talk to the young people. Let me talk to you millennials. Listen, if God can't trust you with money, he can't trust you with ministry. Let me say it even deeper. If he can't trust you with money, he can't trust you with people. See, it's easy to hear God when you're in his presence. And it's easy to give when you love God. When you desire to please God, it's easy to give. I want to talk about the heart of giving. Do you know the action of the Bible is give? John 3:16, everybody knows it. For God so loved the world that he... Watch, God loves you and I, so what does he do? He gives. A lot of people say they love, but they don't, because the response to love is giving. When you love, you give. Come on, as you have Christmas and different things, how many love seeing your children and grandchildren and friends and family, people that you love, open up gifts that you got them? And you know the delight that it will bring to them. You love to give to those that you love. Here's the thing. Why is it so hard to give to God if we love him? It shouldn't be hard. It is his heart. Giving is God's idea. It was his idea to give his son to all of mankind so that we can hear from him. And here's the thing, is not only did God teach me how to hear him through giving, he taught all of us to hear him from giving. Look at this, Exodus chapter 35. I love this. Exodus chapter 35. It says this, verse 20. Then the whole congregation of Israel withdrew from the presence of Moses, and everyone whose heart was stirred, him whose spirit was prompted, they felt a kick in their spirit, brought an offering to the Lord to work the tent meeting for all of its servants, for the sacred garments. So all who had willing hearts, both men and women, came and brought brooches and earrings and rings and necklaces, all kinds of jewelry. They presented it as an offering unto the Lord. I love this. So Moses would go and he would get alone with God and he would hear God for the people until it came to do with giving. And when it had to do with giving, Moses said, now you go inquire the Lord. Watch this. Moses taught the nation how to hear God through their giving. Then they went and had their own daily encounter. They heard from God. And then they came and brought, watch, they brought so much stuff. Moses had to shut it down and say, stop bringing stuff. There's too much stuff. There's not enough place to put it. Watch, because the people's heart was so prompted to give. Church, I'm telling you, it is so easy to hear God when you're in his presence. And it is so easy to give when you love him. You know what generosity is? Generosity, I love this in the Hebrew, is the Hebrew word huplotos, which means bountifulness, simplicity, or singleness. Watch this. Singleness means this, the single aim of an object for which it was given. Another meaning of it is no folding or bent corners. I'll give you an example. So if I took this washcloth, it looks a certain size until you're generous with it and you show how large it is. Generosity means no bent or folded corners. It means everything that you have, you willingly show. That's what generosity truly means, is that you're not hiding anything from God. You're not withholding anything from God. Everything in you is to give to God with a pure heart, pure motives, with the only intention to please him. If you're taking notes, let me give you this meaning. True generosity means this, no strings attached. Some people think they're generous, but they're not because they expect something back. And that's not generosity, that's an exchange. That's a business deal. That's a contract that you have with God. God, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. God is not into contracts. He's into sons and daughters. He's into servants that have a pure heart that love to please him with no strings attached. Do you know generosity is one of the values of Mercy Culture? One of the values is how we make up our culture here at Mercy Culture. You see them on posters all over the lobbies. We say this about generosity. We say no strings attached. We don't give to get. We give our time, our treasure, and our talents from a heart of love with pure motives. Isn't that beautiful? We have a generous community. Do you know that this church this year alone has given $260,000 to missions into Israel already this year? We've given over $70,000 in benevolence and care ministry this year. This is what the church has done, or just so far this year. What I love about this is that our church is generous and there are people giving away things all the time in our community. I just heard the other day someone gave away a motorcycle. People will give away cars. When Snowmageddon happened, people opened up their homes. We live in a generous community, and something about generosity is it's contagious. Now, a lot of people think they're being generous, but you actually are not generous and you're not even giving to God until after your tithe is paid. Your tithe is 10% of your income. It belongs to the Lord, and it's given to the local church. Somebody asked me on my Tuesday Q&A, they're like, well, do I have to give tithe off my stimulus? And I said, if you're asking that question, we have a heart problem. Malachi 3:8 says this, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me, but you say, how do we rob you? In tithes and in offerings. You are cursed with the curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation, because of you. Look at this. Bring the full tithe, someone say full tithe, into the storehouse, the church, that there may be food in my house. And therefore, put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I'll not throw open the windows or floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing, you don't have room for it, or there is no more need. Y'all, the tithe is supernatural. Because what you do is you say, I'm gonna trust God with everything, and I know he will do more when I hold on to 90% than the 100%. Now, majority of people don't tithe for a few reasons. Typically, it's they're unaware, or they're afraid, or they just love something else more. So when people run out of money, it means this, that you're a poor steward, and you gave to T-Mobile or Nike or AT&T before you did God. And then when it came time to give God, you're like, oh, I ran out. I'm sorry, God, you're last. That's why scripture tells us to bring first fruits. So we give to God first. So we never run out, because we give to God first before anything else. See, people don't understand this. If you don't tithe, you're stealing from God. And that never goes over well.
Usually this is where someone's like, well, where does it say it in the New Testament? Matthew 23, 23, Jesus himself said, tithe. It's for the Mercy Culture memes. You're welcome.
Watch. Look at, if you are Googling reasons to not give to God, you have a heart problem. Now, when you are withholding the tithe, you're robbing from God. When you withhold offerings or generosity, you're robbing from you. See, God wants to do something significant in your life if you will let him. I want to talk about the heart of giving. Giving is always an act of love. This is so important. Giving is always an act of love. God gave to us because we love him, and we give to God because our obedience is to honor him and obey him. Matthew 19, I'm going to talk about three biblical examples of giving hearts. Three biblical examples that show the hearts of giver. Matthew 19, beginning in verse 16, this is about the rich young ruler. It says, and behold, a man came to him saying, teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Verse 17, and Jesus said to him, why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who's good, and if you would like to have eternal life, then keep the commandments. It's interesting, they're in the New Testament under grace, but he's still saying keep the commandments. Verse 18, he said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you should not murder, you should not commit adultery, you should not steal, you should not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 20, the young man interrupted him. All these I have kept, what do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, someone say perfect, go sell all that you possess, give it to the poor, you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Verse 22. And the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Let's unpack this for a moment. There's a bad theology that has gone around in the church, and it said this, that if you're wealthy, you're a bad person. If you're wealthy, then you're selfish. If you're wealthy, then you're far from God. And if you want to be godly, you need to give all of you have to the poor. You need to give everything that you have away. And then that's how you could be right with God. And that is a poor theology. When Jesus went to the blind man, he didn't say, go sell all you had. He spit in his face and gave him his DNA. When he met a woman at the well, he didn't say, go sell all you have. He said, you're in adultery. She said, you're a prophet. He said, I know. Now go sin no more. When he met with the man with the withered hand, he didn't say, go sell all you had. Watch. God was always ministering to the heart of the matter. So this guy was a good guy, but he had a money problem. And so God said, if you want to be perfect, go sell all of your heart. Now, this is why he didn't ask for 10% from this guy. This is why he didn't ask for 90%, because he didn't want 90% of this guy's heart. He wanted 100%. Watch. And if this guy held on to $1, there would still be this thing inside of him holding on to that. So he said, you are missing something. You are lacking something. This wasn't about money. It was about his heart. Do you know that God doesn't care how much stuff you have? He cares about how much stuff has you. He cares about your heart. Our second biblical example is Mark chapter 12. Oh man, why are you turning there? Or turning there on the notes. Could you imagine having this one-on-one conversation with Jesus and leaving Jesus' presence over money? Just imagine this. Jesus is only doing ministry for 3 years. There's only a few people that have these kind of interactions. And he turns and leaves Jesus over money. I wonder how many ministers would run after the rich guy and say, just kidding, how about half? Jesus is so gangster. Watch, he lets him leave. He was trying to be a peacemaker with him, not a peacekeeper.
He was trying to help him, deliver him, not convince him. I love this with Jesus. Jesus didn't try to convince anyone. You notice that? Because anytime you're trying to convince someone, it's actually manipulation, which is one of the tentacles of witchcraft. We're not trying to convince. Listen, obedience is the opposite of convince. Obedience is I'm saying, Lord, I love you so much that I'm going to choose to obey and honor you. It's interesting. If you love God, it's easy to give. If you love yourself, it's hard to give. Mark chapter 12, a woman who just gave a few pennies, verse 41. And Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched people putting in the money. In the offering box, many rich people put in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small coins, which make a penny. And he called to his disciples and said, "Truly I say to you, this poor woman has given more than all those contributing in this offering box. For they gave out of their abundance, and she gave out of her poverty. She put in everything she had." Sometimes we think that we don't have a lot to give, and because it may not be a lot to other people, it's not a lot to God. And I want to let you know that it's never about an amount of money. It is always about an amount of a heart. Because maybe you are independently wealthy and you could come bring hundreds of thousands of dollars and it's a drop in the bucket to you. Well, the lady that gave everything that she had and it's just a few dollars gave more than the $100,000 person because she gave from her lack or everything that she had. But what we try to do is we try to put earthly value instead of heavenly honor. This was so significant, Jesus stopped and said, "Do you see this woman?" First, I thought it was interesting that Jesus was watching what people gave. See, you can trick people, you can trick your pastor, but you can't trick God. It's not about an amount. Hear this. It's about sacrifice. It's about obedience. This is so important. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, everybody who can give 2,000, come over here. And if you have pennies, go over here." He let them come from their heart. Watch. And then he honored them. Could you imagine being a woman who's embarrassed to give? You know it's going to clank when you put it in. It's all you have. And Jesus stops the assembly and says, "Look at how much she gave." I hope you hear what I'm telling you. It is not about an amount. It's about your heart. He wants 100% of your heart. Let's look at Acts chapter 4, the New Testament church. We hear this a lot. People talk about it a lot. It's very common to use Acts 4 in the church today. It says this in verse 32. "Now the full number of those who were believing were one in heart and soul. No one said that any things that belonged to him was their own, but they had everything in common." Verse 33. "And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace or favor was on them all. There was no needy person among them. For as they were owners of lands and houses, they sold them and they brought the proceeds that they sold and they laid them at the apostles' feet and they distributed to each of them as what they need." We hear this all the time about the New Testament church. We hear about how generous the New Testament church was. But this is important. Acts 4 is a response to Acts 2. Acts 2, there was a pouring out of the Holy Spirit. There was a baptism of the Holy Spirit. The power of God came upon them. Evangelism began to break out. They began to grow by the numbers daily, thousands, hundreds. They're growing rapid pace. The gospel was spreading. And as God encountered his people, the response to a God encounter was generosity. Acts 4 was a response to the Acts 2 God encounter. Supernatural generosity is a response to a God encounter. I hear all the time about how much people say, "I love this house." Your giving is a reflection of your love for this house. Let me ask you this question. Do you love this house? I'm asking every member, do you love this house? Have you encountered God at this house? Are you aware of how special this is? And I don't honestly, when I go home and when I'm in my office and when I'm in my personal quiet time, I don't think of this church as my church ever, because it's not. It's His. And what's made it so special is it hasn't been built around a person, an ego, or a ministry, but it's been built around the presence of God. I've been serving the Lord my entire life. I gave my life to the Lord at 3 years old. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost at 12. I preached my first sermon in India at 14. I've been serving the Lord a long time, and never in my life have I experienced something like this. Are you aware of how special this is? Are you aware? I was an evangelist for 10 years. And I'd have to go into churches and contend for the presence of God because He wasn't there before we got there. And you just could come in. It doesn't matter if you sit in the balcony, the front row, down here, up there. It doesn't matter. You come in, it's just pow. Just like, why are you crying? I don't know. I don't know. Huh. When you encounter God, the response is supernatural generosity. When you love God, the response is a yes to give. I hear all the time people tell me, thank you so much for your yes. My family's been saved. My marriage has been transformed. My kids are on fire. If it wasn't for Justice, if it wasn't for Axel, if it wasn't for CCA, if it wasn't for this house, if it wasn't for this moment, this small group, there's so many things, ministries going on all over the place all the time. If it wasn't for Distinct Business, people say it all the time. And it's interesting. They always say, thank you for your yes. And I was contemplating my yes this week. It's contemplating the favor of God that's on this house. My yes to mercy culture didn't begin on a fast. My yes to mercy culture was a yes to giving before it was anything else. I remember I was 18 years old. I'm on this journey of giving, and it went from hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And I was in a church service one day, and the Lord spoke to my heart, and He said, I want you to give everything. And I had worked all year long, and I'd saved $1,455. And it was one of my early life goals to buy a house when I was a teenager. I hadn't heard of anyone do that, and I wanted to buy a house when I was a teenager. And so I was saving money and working a job, and I had $1,455, and the Lord said, I want you to give it all. And I did what I do every time. I wrestled with it and processed it, but I knew it was the Lord because I couldn't shake it. So I went to church that next Sunday. They weren't taking a special offering. It wasn't Heart for Mercy. I came and I brought my offering to the Lord. 3 months later, I get a call from a realtor in the church. He said, hey, I was praying. Are you trying to buy a house? I said, yes, I am. He said, the Lord told me to give you my commission as a down payment so you can buy a house. 3 months later, I was 18 years old and owned a house before I turned 19. Had 4 guys from the church come live with me. I was living for free. Story's not done. I was working out at this gym and I saw this blonde girl. Show. I had no idea she was a heathen. We went on one date. The Lord said, she's your wife, disciple her for 2 years. I baptized her in that same lake in that little town that I bought that house in. We fell in love together. 2 years of discipling her, we got married. She's been discipling me ever since. We started traveling around the world together, doing ministry together. We ended up in a city called Austin, Texas. We own this piece of property by the river. We're building her dream house. I'm traveling around the world preaching. She's traveling with me, raising our kids. Top 10 realtor at Magnolia Realty with Chip and Joanna Gaines. We're thriving, living our best life now, and God says, just kidding. I want you to move to Fort Worth, Texas, to a city you know no one, and plant Mercy Culture Church. Well, I'm going to pour out my supernatural favor on a community.
where you won't even be there for 2 years yet, and elders are running for mayors, where people are running for politics, where you're taking over the city, you're taking ground in the city, where demons are fleeing in the city, where principalities are being unseated, rulers are being unseated in the city. There would be no mercy culture because there would be no marriage to Heather if I didn't meet her in the town that I got a miracle house, if I did say yes to a seed at 18 years old for $1,455. My yes to this started with a yes to this. Here's the thing. Your yes produces a supernatural favor. Let me show you in God's word. I love this. 2 Corinthians 8, 1. Man, you can come join me. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in severe test and affliction, their abundance of joy, their extreme poverty has overflowed with the rich generosity. This is so important. The church of Macedonia was a church plant by the apostle Paul in the heathen world. He's frustrated with the Jews rejecting the gospel. So he goes to the Gentiles and he plants a church in Macedonia. Now, we know that according to scripture that they had severe testing and trials. Now, we don't know exactly what those are, but we could have guessed by the same trials that the church in Jerusalem faced, persecution, martyrdom, stealing of wealth, absolute resistance to everything they did. They probably had something similar, but the difference is in Jerusalem, there were way more believers, and in Macedonia, there's none. They're in this heathen world all by themselves and surrounded by affliction and hardship. Paul says this, that they arose with this joy. Despite what was going on around them, it says that they encountered the favor of God. Now, this is crazy because when it says the word grace, it's saying the word unmerited favor. Anytime the Bible's using that word grace, in that context, it's unmerited favor. So watch this. So they have all of these needs of their own, all of these trials of their own, but they encountered the presence of God in their trial, or they experienced the favor of God in the middle of trial. I'll tell it like this. I woke up on Friday morning, and my back was in spasms. And it hurt to breathe. Scale of about a 1 to 10 is about an 8 pain. Could barely walk, roll out of bed. I'm like, Heather, help me, help. And I got adjusted twice. We got an amazing chiropractor at the church named Dr. Tanner, and he adjusted me twice. And we have another mad scientist that goes to the church. His name's Cam McDaniel, and he's got this machine they invented. And it sends electrical currents through your body at a very, very high voltage. And so he hooks you up to this machine, and it's amazing what it does. It really is. And he said, how do you want to do this? I was like, I got to be able to move on Sunday. We got to go after this. And he said, okay, what I want you to do is I want you to begin to do lunges and hold lunges while I turn this thing on. And what this machine does is it sends these currents through your body, and it's not painful, it's just very intense. It can make grown men kind of jerk real fast. I'm telling the truth, John, am I? I'm telling the truth. So I'm in my office, and I'm right next to my sermon prep board, and he has this connected to me. And he says, okay, here we go. And he starts turning it up, and all of a sudden, I feel all of this energy going through my back. And I could barely breathe earlier. I could barely move. I couldn't twist. I didn't have motion.
I woke up in pain. But why this machine was sending energy through my body, it was so intense that I could not feel the pain in my back anymore. I could only feel the energy that was going through my body. I'm being rocked in my office and I'm holding on to my sermon board. And the Holy Spirit said, "This is like my favor." That there's pain going around you. There's trials going on around you. There's intensity going on around you. You didn't plan this cycle of life. You didn't plan this situation. You weren't prepared for this hardship. But the only thing you really feel is the presence of God. Despite the pain that you know is there, I feel the presence. I don't feel the pain. The church encountered God and they said, "We encountered the favor of God." And despite the persecution, despite the trials, despite the disappointments, the only thing we feel right now is His favor. I was reminded of Mercy Culture Church. And when the entire world is crumbling a year ago today, I stood right here where there was red carpet at the time. And I declared what I heard God say in my daily encounter, that we would thrive and not survive. I have told pastors around America, when they say, "What's happening at Mercy Culture Church?" I say, "We are not participating in an economy of fear. Watch. Favor is when you participate in the economy of faith. As I was finishing preparing for today, I was reminded of a prophetic word. Pastor Jeremy Dunn stood here a few months ago. I think it was the first Sunday in February. And he said, "This church is going to go through one quarter of a dig and then three quarters of overflow." Do you know on the calendar, today is the last day. This is the last Sunday of this first quarter. We are in a prophetic moment. We will experience the supernatural. We will experience exceedingly, abundantly, beyond what we could ever ask or think. This is a season, hear this, to supernaturally give. Supernatural giving scares you. Supernatural giving is beyond you. Supernatural giving doesn't make sense. Supernatural giving is hard to calculate, but it produces supernatural favor.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.